We're now going to hear a story from the Bible about somebody that was trying to hear from God. Chris.
A reading from the first book of Samuel, chapter 1, verses 4 to 20. There once was a man who lived in Ramathaim. He was descended from the old Zuf family in the Ephraim hills. His name was Elkanah. He was connected with the Zufs from Ephraim through his father, Jeroham, his grandfather, Elihu, and his great-grandfather, Tohu. He had two wives. The first was Hannah. The second was Peninnah. Peninnah had children. Hannah did not. Every year, this man went from his hometown up to Shiloh to worship and offer a sacrifice to God. Eli and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, served as the priests of God there. When Elkanah sacrificed, he passed helpings from the sacrificial meal around to his wife, Peninnah, and all her children, but he always gave an especially generous helping to Hannah, because he loved her so much, and because God had not given her children. But her rival wife taunted her cruelly, rubbing it in, and never letting her forget that God had not given her children. This went on year after year. Every time she went to the sanctuary of God, she could expect to be taunted. Hannah was reduced to tears and had no appetite. Her husband, Elkanah, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons?" After they had eaten and drunk at Shiloh, Hannah rose and presented herself before the Lord. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. Hannah was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made this vow, "O Lord of hosts, if only you will look on the misery of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a male child, then I will set him before you as a Nazarite until the day of his death. He shall drink neither wine nor intoxicants, and no razor shall touch his head." As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying silently. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you make a drunken spectacle of yourself? Put away your wine." But Hannah answered, "No, my lord, I am a woman deeply troubled. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation all this time." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace, the God of Israel, grant the petition you have made to him. And she said, let your servant find favor in your sight. Then the woman went to her quarters, ate and drank with her husband, and her countenance was sad no longer. They rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. Elkanah knew his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. In due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, I have asked him of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Chris. I think we might have some pictures of Hannah, I'm hoping. Oh, look, we've got a tweet. Hang on, let's go back. Where was that? Where was that one? There was a tweet. Somebody's put something up there. What have we had go up? Oh, it's going down. It's running through them all, is it? Is that what it's doing? There was one there somewhere. I saw. And somebody put a picture as well. Who's been taking pictures in church? Who's been taking pictures in church? Oh, it might get there in a minute. It's coming up. Oh, there we are. Look at that. Great T. Kim. That's wonderful. That's lovely. Anyway, we have got some pictures of Hannah, I think. Hannah, and how that's been portrayed. That must be the next one, perhaps. There we are. There's some pictures of Hannah and the way she's been portrayed by different people. If you go to the next one, I quite like the third one that I think will come up. Because to me, that shows somebody in quite an anguished state, quite feeling a lot of pain, feeling a lot of hurt, because she'd been for many years taunted by, in those days she had two wives, but the other wife who'd had children, and Hannah didn't have children. So she was crying out to God, saying, help me. Hannah was drunk, it looked like, to Eli the priest. It was clear that she was completely out of order and that she'd obviously enjoyed the feast far too much, as far as he was concerned. What a ridiculous woman. Doesn't her husband know any better that she should be behaving like this in a holy place? She wasn't drinking coffee and tea. She was crying out, looking drunk. I just don't know what's happening anymore. The whole nation, Eli was thinking to himself, seems to have forgotten all the good works that God has done for them, and they've just turned themselves over to doing what they want, when they want. They're irreverent, they're all drunk, and it's disgusting. That's what it is. Just plain disgusting, the way that people behave when they come into a place of worship. I'll have to go and have a word with her. I can't let this go on any longer. She doesn't know what she's saying. Mumbling away, swaying, staggering, completely and utterly drunk, obviously. God doesn't work that way. Intoxicating people with alcohol. Does God? I'm going to ask Chris to read another account from the Bible from a bit later on.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." This is the word of the Lord.
Aren't you glad that Chris got to read all those lovely words this morning? Some of the best bits of reading some parts of the Bible are all those incredible words. What was it? Phrygia, Pamphylia, and Cappadocia, and all those sorts of things. People can get it wrong. The priest Eli got it wrong with Hannah, and some of those watching on the day of Pentecost got it wrong. Those people weren't drunk with wine. Something was going on. Something very deep had been happening with Hannah, and something was stirring her deep within. That something was God, the Holy Spirit, nudging and prompting her to cry out from the depths of her being, to ask God to answer her deepest need. She wanted to have a child. And something very special was happening on the day of Pentecost. The church was born, and was born amid scenes that perhaps you and I would probably only think of as being chaos, as being completely out of control, out of order, and certainly inappropriate to be seen and happening in a place of worship. Our concepts, our ideas about what is worship may be challenged or shattered by seeing such things happen. But I'm not this morning going to talk about worship. We'll look at worship perhaps another time. But now I want to think about how we hear from God. So as we come to sing our next hymn, think about how you think we hear God today. And then I'll be testing you afterwards to see how many different ways that you can come up with how we might hear from God today compared to what I've got on my list. We'll see who wins, shall we? So, how does God speak to us? How do we communicate with God? How do we hear from God? I wonder how many different ways you might come up with. Let's just see how many. See what number have I got. I've got 11. So let's see how many of those we can knock off, or if you come up with some others. So what have we got? How does God speak to us? How might God speak to us? Through His Word. We should have a picture, but it might not get there in a minute. Through God's written Word. God speaks to us sometimes through the Bible, doesn't He? How sometimes we can be reading something, it just says something to us, and it seems to make sense to us, and it feels like God's telling us to do something. But you have to be careful, don't you, when you're reading the Bible? It's important that you read it in the right way, because we don't want to be like that person who, when they were worrying about what they should do next, they thought, I'm just going to open the Bible up and see what it says. And he found Matthew 27, verse 5, where it says, so Judas threw the money into a temple and left, and then he went away and hanged himself. Oh, that doesn't sound too good. What would you do if you read that verse? I think, hang on, God might want to say something else. So he wasn't very happy with that, and he turned the Bible over a bit more, and he found Luke 10, verse 37, and he read that, and it says, Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Oh, I'm not sure about that. Go and do likewise. So he wasn't very happy about that, because he'd read Judas went and hanged himself, and Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. So he turned the page over a bit further, and he came to John 13 and verse 27. And he read there, it says, and what you're about to do, do it quickly. It's not a very good way to read the Bible, is it? So sometimes we need to have people to help us understand what the Bible says. Sometimes we need to be careful how we read it so that we can understand better what it says. So that's one way. So we've got one. What else? How else does God speak to us? Stephen. Through what other people say. Yep. Through what other people say. That can help us, can't it? Other people saying this. So if you had done what that man did and you said, oh, I'm not quite sure about this, somebody will say, no, don't be silly. That's not for you, and that's not the right thing to way to which to understand the Bible. But sometimes we can go to other people and ask for advice as to what to do. Which course should I study at college? What exam shall I take? What job should I follow? What should I do about my neighbour who's not very well at the moment? Those are all things where we can ask for help. So we've got two. Any other things? How else does God speak to us? Any other ways? We've got some over this side. Go on. Through creation. Has anybody seen some good bits of creation lately? Yeah? Anybody been up any mountains or hills? Valleys? Rivers? Seen a rainbow? We haven't seen many of those lately. It's either sunny, cold, or raining, but not together at the same time, is it? So that's three. So that's, what was that? Written word, other people, through nature. How else do you think God might speak to us? Through prayer? I haven't got that one down, I don't think, have I? Oh dear, I failed. You beat me. Through prayer. Definitely, God can speak to us through prayer. Anything else? The sound of church bells. I haven't got that one down, Chris, either. So that's two more, so I'll have to add that into my list. What other things have we got? Any other things? You're not in thinking mode this morning. It must be the coffee you've had. Through circumstances. Oh, I haven't got that one either. Deary me. I'm failing miserably. Miserably. Go on then. Was there something else? Through songs, through hymns, through music, through creative arts. I've got that somewhere, haven't I? Tom, I think I've got creative arts. Through arts, through prayers, through poems. But songs are part of that, aren't they? That counts. Dreams. I had dreams. I've got dreams and visions somewhere. Through dreams and visions, through art, creative work of all kinds. Anything else? Miracles, yeah, could speak to us through miracles, things happening. I don't think I've written that down, but I had it. You could include it in the dreams and visions bits and pieces. How about through silence? Silence. And solitude sometimes. Conscience is a good one as well, Stephen, that you said there. I put through holy hunches as well. Sometimes, you know, you might be at home thinking about something and say, oh, I wonder how so-and-so's doing. Perhaps I'll give them a ring. And how often do you find that when you find that, you ring somebody or you text them or something and it was just what they needed to hear? Is that God speaking to us or through us? I think it can be. I think it can be. I think you've done pretty well. I'm trying to see if there's anything. I've got as well, the only couple I had is through our emotions. Sometimes the way we're feeling, unlike the scared thing in the middle there that's running away, sometimes our emotions, our feelings can actually be God speaking to us. So perhaps if you go out somewhere, perhaps if you go somewhere in town or something, and you're not sure about something, you feel a bit uneasy about going into a certain shop or around a certain area or something, that could actually be through your feelings, through your thoughts, God speaking to you and saying to you, this isn't quite what you should be doing. This isn't really a good place for you to be. So there's all sorts of ways in which God can speak to us. So as when we leave here today, try, if you think of any others that we haven't mentioned, do let me know. And we'll add them to our list. Because I've already got another three that you've given me this morning, which takes me up to 15, which means that I could probably preach for 3 hours next time. What do you reckon?